Mr. Obama goes to Capitol Hill.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, it's The Morning Open. Hello, I'm Steve Chiotakis. We're about 20 minutes into the trading day, and we're going to ask that question. Where's Wall Street? Numbers are mixed right now. As a matter of fact, the S&P up about a tenth of a percent. So is the NASDAQ up about 0.3%. The Dow is pretty much flat. European shares are down about a percent or less. And Asian shares, Asian markets lost a percent today as well. Toyota says it's going to stop making and selling 8 models in the United States until it figures out what's causing sudden acceleration. We're going to have more on that coming up. First, President Obama gives his annual State of the Union address tonight. He's been under a lot of pressure to move some economic mountains. We're going to hear for sure what his plans are in that address. Richard DeKayser is president of Woodley Park Research. He's with us live this morning from New York. Good morning, Richard.
Good morning.
What's the most important thing you think the president can say tonight to reassure Americans that his plans will work to improve the economy?
Well, I think the most important thing is basically sticking to the plan. There have been stimulus legislation passed last year. They're basically working, and I think that they're going to be challenged in the months ahead, and he needs to keep people focused on the successes we've realized and not get discouraged. Now, that's the most important. The most likely thing, however, that he's going to talk about are going to be various forms of support for the middle class, like incentives to save and to get an education. I think he's really trying to reach out to the middle of America and reassure them that things are going to be okay.
And deficit reduction, he's going to talk about that as well, I'm sure.
Absolutely. They've already announced, or at least have been leaked, a freeze on discretionary items. It's a small part of the budget, but I think it's at least tipping the hat to a growing sense of anger that our fiscal condition is increasingly out of control.
We know the Fed's been doing a lot to prop up the economy. Their two-day interest rate meeting, Richard, ends today. Chairman Bernanke's term expires Sunday. Is he going to be confirmed to go on?
Well, I think he is. The Senate has to pass him by a 60-vote majority, and it looks like increasingly like that is going to be the case. So no Fed chairman has been denied the post when submitted by the government. One has been refused, but it looks like this one's going to come through again in a squeaker, but come through nonetheless.
And his popularity has sort of been up and down the past couple of weeks, right?
Well, that's right. It seems increasingly people are looking at the Fed chairman as sort of an icon of things that went wrong. After all, he was, if not the chairman of the Federal Reserve, a governor of the Federal Reserve, and the president, President Bush's chief economist during much of that time. So I think a lot of people are focusing their frustration with the economy on leaders of all sorts, including Ben Bernanke.
All right, Richard, we appreciate it. Thank you very much.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Well, as we talked about, the president's expected to unveil some new initiatives aimed at helping the middle class in his State of the Union address. One of those proposals could ease the burden of student loans. From the Marketplace Education Desk, Caitlin Carroll reports.
Right now, most graduates must spend 15% of their disposable income paying off their federal student loans each month for up to 25 years. Under the new proposal, loan payments will drop to 10% of disposable income and will be forgiven after 20 years. Erin Barnhart says the change couldn't have come at a better time. She's just finishing up a doctoral degree in urban studies.
I hope that you know, for some people that's going to break down some of those barriers to going to school, but for people who've already taken the leap like myself, it's going to make a real big difference.
Barnhart owes over $100,000 in student loans, and there aren't a lot of jobs in her field right now. Mark Kantrowitz is a publisher of financial websites like FinAid.org. He says the plan will be relatively inexpensive for the government because most people pay off their loans.
And it also means that students who borrow money can be assured that by the time their own children enroll in college, they will not still be paying back their own student loans.
The proposal is expected to be included in the president's budget next week and still needs to be approved by Congress. I'm Caitlin Carroll for Marketplace.
World business and political leaders, celebrities too, are in Davos, Switzerland for the World Economic Forum. It's underway today, and Marketplace's Stephen Beard is there as part of our special coverage. Hello, Stephen.
Hello, Steve.
What is the significance of this meeting?
Well, it is a key event in the economic calendar, not because major decisions are made here, but because major decision makers are here, getting to know each other and getting to thrash out the problems facing the global economy.
So let's talk about those decision makers. Who are some of these people attending?
It's a pretty high-powered group, presidents, prime ministers and CEOs from around 90 countries. President Sarkozy of France, for example. Bill Gates and Rupert Murdoch are here. And a lot of heavy hitters from China, India and other emerging countries.
And what are they talking about? What are the issues that they're focusing on today?
Well, sadly, the catastrophe in Haiti will certainly be discussed, but the main focus is economic and financial reform. How do we avoid another economic crisis? One fascinating thing to watch, though, Steve, the bankers. They largely stayed away from Davos last year at the height of the crisis. This year they're back in force, and we're told we'll be lobbying the governments represented here not to follow the US example and crack down on the banks. Now, that doesn't seem to fit with the ideals of Davos, but then Davos has always been this sort of rather uneasy mix of lofty aims and hard-nosed business.
Stephen Beard joining us from Davos. Stephen, stay warm.
Okay, Steve.
Later today, special coverage from the Economic Forum there from Davos, and Marketplace host Kai Rizdal talks to the founder of the Carlyle Group, David Rubenstein, about the new normal for global growth. Listening to the Marketplace Morning Report for Wednesday, January 27th, 2010, at marketplace.org. After teasing us with rumors for almost a year, Steve Jobs will unveil a piece of technology that he's allegedly called the most important thing he's ever done. Though that quote is, of course, a rumor, too. Here to sort through the hype, Marketplace's Gregory Warner.
iPad, iSlate, iTablet, whatever it's called, CNET's Erica Ogg will only speculate a little bit about the device that's supposed to change the world.
It's supposed to be very thin. It's supposed to measure about 10 inches, and it's going to have a touch screen.
It's supposed to display digital books and magazines and let you download TV shows and videos. It might even recognize your face when you look at it. Carl Howe is a technology analyst with the Yankee Group. He says the market for e-book readers could double this year.
If Apple validates that market with a very cool device, it could grow even faster.
And way beyond books. Amazon, whose Kindle rules that market now, has put the call out to software developers for new apps and tools for the Kindle. Erica Ogg says Amazon can still win on price.
Some people will just want a dedicated device that just reads books, and they can pay less money for that.
The Kindle costs less than $500. The new Apple iThing could be anywhere from $600 to $1,000, depending on who you believe. In Philadelphia, I'm Gregory Warner for Marketplace.
The San Diego Open starts tomorrow at the Torrey Pines Golf Course without Tiger Woods. And he won't be the only thing missing. Since his fall from grace, professional golf has been struggling to attract tournament sponsors, television viewers, even fans. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall Genzer reports.
This won't take long. It's Tiger's tournament.
Tiger Woods owned professional golf before his course behavior. Now the PGA has to scramble to find corporate sponsors for golf tournaments.
Now that he's out, and he'll be out for a while, it's a shaky time for sponsors to get back their return on investment.
Ben Sterner is CEO of the Leverage Agency. It arranges sponsorships. He says the PGA didn't find a sponsor for Torrey Pines until last week. The tournament was sponsored for 17 years by Buick until the recession hit. Sterner thinks the new sponsor, Farmers Insurance Group, paid half price. It'll be a different story if, well, more like when, Woods returns. Robert Boddy is a sports economist at Lake Forest College.
Can you imagine what that first tournament is going to be like when he comes back? There's going to be substantial interest, if for no other reason, for some, to see him fail.
Boddy says a lot will also depend on Woods' success in rehabilitating his public image before he returns to the game. I'm Nancy Marshall Genzer for Marketplace.
The head of Argentina's central bank looks as though he might call it quits amidst a very public squabble. From Buenos Aires, Ian Mount reports.
Argentina defaulted on its loans 8 years ago, and the international finance community cast it out. President Cristina Fernandez de Kirchner wants to pay back those loans and rehabilitate Argentina's image. But this fight with central bank chairman Martin Redrado is getting in the way. Dante Seeker runs the economic advisory firm Abeseb.com. He says the longer Argentina delays paying down its debt, the more it risks looking like one of its less creditworthy neighbors.
This conflict comes at the worst moment because there's an open window right now to return to the international financial markets. But from the outside, it seems like Argentina is the same as Venezuela.
The spat began when the president demanded Rodrado hand over $6.6 billion to pay down the country's debts. He stalled, so she sacked him. Or she tried to. Opposition legislators said she couldn't take the bank's reserves or fire its chief without asking them. A judge agreed. An enraged Fernandez de Kirchner accused the opposition, the judiciary, and the media of conspiring to hobble her government.
Behind this whole question of the money, there has been a huge political plot.
The opposition and some analysts claim that Fernandez de Kirchner will use the money not to pay down the country's debt, but to fund programs that will help her win votes in next year's presidential election. Fausto Spatorno is chief economist at Orlando Ferreres and Associates.
The federal government, it feels that they need to spend more money to this year and the next year if they want to have a chance in 2011.
Fausto Spatorno says the spat has already hurt the central bank's credibility with international investors. That could make it hard for the country to borrow the money it needs and make Fernandez de Kirchner's re-election plans even more difficult. In Buenos Aires, I'm Ian Mount for Marketplace.
Told you at the outset, the Japanese automaker Toyota says it's going to stop manufacturing and selling 8 of its models in the United States until it figures out what's causing a sudden acceleration problem. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman joins us live this morning with that. Good morning, Mitchell.
Good morning, Steve.
What's the scope of this action?
Well, a lot of their most popular models, sedans, SUVs, and crossovers will sort of be not for sale. Camry, Matrix, Avalon, and Corolla, the Tundra pickup, Sequoia, and Highlander SUV, and the RAV4. Toyota's also halting production of those cars in the U.S. all next week to try and fix the problem. They've already recalled about 4 million vehicles for this and a related defect. That's where the floor mat gets stuck and can hold the gas pedal down.
And Mitchell, what's the impact on Toyota in terms of finances and public relations?
Well, Toyota lost money last quarter. It's the first time that's happened in 59 years, and this could cost over $1 billion in lost sales and also in repairs. It's had management shuffles, and now this. Gary Chasen teaches industrial relations at Clark University.
Something has gone terribly wrong at Toyota. Their reputation for a high-quality product will probably remain diminished for a long, long time. This is the type of thing that companies can't recover from very quickly. When someone doesn't buy a Toyota, or they buy another car. And it's not as if they're going to wait for Toyota to start selling those models again.
And keep in mind, this is happening just as Americans have started buying cars again. Toyota really doesn't want to lose ground to companies that it pulled in front of, like Ford and GM.
Mitchell Hartman joining us live this morning. Mitchell, thanks.
You're welcome.
Hey, share your thoughts on the news of the day and check out the podcast, too, inside our website, marketplace.org. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles. This is Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
Hey there, I'm Bridget, co-host of Million Bazillion, Marketplace's podcast for kids about money. I want to tell you about our email newsletter course, Million Bazillion Academy. In this new and improved course, we'll help your kids learn about crypto, credit cards, and inflation in just 6 weeks. Each lesson comes with a podcast episode, a fun cartoon, discussion questions, and an activity that lets kids apply what they're learning in the real world. You can start at any time and work at your own pace. Sign up today at marketplace.org/academy.